Welcome to episode 20 of the Cosmetic Course podcast. This is a continuation of episode 19, which I was talking to Ron about all elements of things, and we're going to continue in the discussions in this podcast, which I hope you will enjoy.
I just thought now, Ron, perhaps we could talk a little bit about, assessing how your business has done just for the last sort of few minutes. And how you advise people to plan for the coming year.
Well, in my experience, I think the most successful businesses and the ones that are around year after year after year, do this on a regular basis, is kind of sit down, do a review, look at where they're at, whether they're profitable or not, which is important, looking at where they get most of their business from, looking at their marketing spend and whether they're getting a good return on investment from that, from different routes, whether that's some form of print advertising or internet advertising, search engine optimization, pay-per-click, whatever, and sit down and look and say, okay, fine, well, how am I going to improve on that and grow next year? So I think just sitting down, taking stock, looking at where you are, and a long, cold, hard look at your business and saying, right, what am I going to do next year in order to grow? Taking, that as read that you probably do want to grow and earn more, not just turnover, but more profit, which is important, really, at the end of the day. It's a good thing to take a day out of your business to sit down and really do that and plan it out. And then just sketch out, if you've got some money there that you might want to invest, what areas do you think might fit best into your clinic? Is there a new service like getting into vein treatment that you think you could do and make money out of? And if you're going to do that, sketch out how you will do that, what type of equipment you need to bring in, who's going to do the treatment, when you're going to launch it, how you're going to market it, that kind of stuff. If you've got a clinic manager, this is a good thing to do with a clinic manager and sit down and sort of look at these ideas and plan it out.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the key thing. And then to, put together a budget. So a bit like George Osborne does, realistic budget to look at the money you're going to spend on your business, where it's going to be spent, and hopefully a target for the money you're going to take out.
Yeah, and I suppose Christmas is an ideal time in a way because January's quiet normally. You might have a few days free, and there's two weeks over Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, between Christmas and the New Year, and take a long, hard look at your literature. Does that need to be updated, freshened up? Your whole image, the websites, which, as you said, is becoming increasingly important. Nowadays. Is that optimized? When you type in the keywords that consumers would type in to find businesses in your area, offering your services, are you coming up in that first page or not? If you're not, then I think it's going to be tough to find new people or to attract new people in. So, if you do that and it isn't working, then I think you need to go back to your web designer and say, what can we do in order to make sure that we do come up in that first page? It could be as well that you might look at a totally separate site, and this is a trend nowadays as well, where people are putting together microsites. And we just done this for Rita Rakers, who's quite a well-known practitioner who works in the London area, and she's just taken on board a new treatment called Pelave.
Yeah.
And this is a radio frequency treatment for skin tightening, and she pulled the details in her own website, but found that it really wasn't coming up anywhere in the first sort of few pages, and she was a bit concerned that someone else in London had managed to get up in the first two or three listings for this. He was a competitor. So we advised her to pull together a microsite around this, and we did it around pelavelondon.co.uk. Pulled it together, microsite, five pages, optimized all the different sections within there, and within literally 5 days, we'd taken the first three slots after launch. So it is quite possible to have a dramatic impact quite quickly with a microsite, much more so than I think trying to tinker around with your own website.
So you did that by getting the URL to say the name, all the meta descriptions.
Yeah, URL name. Type in, it's the words that I think are important here, and the more, if you've got the URL for the brand that people might be searching for and the area,
yeah,
in that domain name. So yeah. Pelave London.
Yeah.
And it should be a .co.uk address if you're running a business in the UK. Then you can get those sites up. We were actually surprised how quickly it got up ourselves, but literally 5 days after launch, it was in those top three.
Yeah,
it actually took the top three slots because the different pages within the sites were well enough optimized.
Yeah. So Google is finding stuff much, much quicker now. So, you know, that's interesting.
It's a set of rules. Now, you can't do that for everything, but I think if you've got something that's not particularly competitive from a search term perspective, it is, you know, as we've proven, relatively easy really to get up there and dominate, even in an area like London, which is quite a competitive marketplace, a particular niche.
Yeah.
And this is really what it's about. It's about niche marketing now. And I think one of the issues of running a medical aesthetic clinic is that you're actually trying to market all sorts of different concepts to all sorts of different patients or clients. You know, you could have tattoo removal, which is one of your services, laser hair removal, wrinkle reduction, facial contouring, skin tightening, cellulite treatment, stretch marks. They're all different things that you've got to market and different messages that you need to get across. And if I saw a talk by Stephen Mulholland, he said he's got about 80 of these different microsites. So he's got over 80 websites out there. They'll all lead back into his business.
Yeah, I think we've got about 40.
Yep. So you absolutely, and so you know that, you know, it's a strategy that I think, you know, every clinic needs to look at in terms of their particular, I think, you know, key areas of where they're trying to generate their business from.
Yeah.
In their locality, and when you think about it, especially in, you know, small towns or whatever, it isn't that hard to dominate that because you're not going to have hundreds of people offering these treatments. And with some of them, you may be the, you know, one of only two or three.
Absolutely.
So it's very feasible and realistic if you follow the rules, you know, to really get in that first page of Google. And that's really where you need to be.
I would totally agree with this. I mean, it's a big subject, but I mean, you know, the majority of people are going to find you probably by a search. If they don't find you by a search, if they're recommended, they're certainly going to look you up.
Absolutely.
You know, so one way or another, they're going to look at your website. And I think, I mean, what I found recently, we just redesigned our website. And in fact, what I've realised is, I've looked at it more and more, you know, because I'm having to redo the copy. What I've realised is that I very rarely look at the website.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you look at your website critically?
From the consulting room is always constantly being looked at. In fact, we're going through a major rewrite now at the moment. The clinic one, very regularly, we would update it probably at least once every couple of weeks with information, because again, that's another thing as well. The more you update your site and amend it, that also does attract in search engine spiders to come and reevaluate the information in there and regrade it. So it should be a living, breathing thing, really. And, you know, it should be the core of your marketing, I believe, nowadays.
Yeah, and look at it. I mean, you could do, like, usability studies where you get people to, say, look at your website and say, right, see how long it takes you to find how much Botox is going to cost and where I can have it done. So it's
amazing.
Yeah, so it's amazing, you know, how difficult that is sometimes for people find the information.
Which is why I think there is a move more towards looking at these sort of focus sites, because, you know, I've looked at some clinic sites and they can look pretty damn confusing and congested, really.
Yeah.
You know, when you add in all the different, you know, treatment services, problems that they can potentially treat nowadays. And so I think for your bigger core items, you really want to make sure they stand out. Do it via a microsite, you can just focus on that and also just focus on the reasons why they should come to you rather than anyone else, which I think is the key. So you get a simple message. Somebody searching for your particular treatment in a particular area, it's likely that they're really interested in that. And so the message isn't necessarily lots of information about the treatment. It's probably more why come to me rather than, you know, another competitor that you can find just a click away.
I do think, though, that microsites, it's more difficult in a very competitive area, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think if you've got, say, for instance, Botox, that is a competitive area, although it is feasible to do it. You know, we have done it. But I think if you're looking at, you know, niche areas or niche brand names, then you'd be surprised, you know, if you looked at, say, for instance, cellulite treatment in a given area, you probably wouldn't find that many sites around that. with a nice properly optimized site, you could suddenly find you're attracting a lot of traffic.
Okay, Ron, now when you say an optimized site, can you just give me a real idiot's guide? So if someone out there has got a website, they don't know that much about it, their web designer says they've optimized it, they're not getting traffic, they're not appearing on the first page of Google for their search phrases, how can they see whether the site is optimized?
Well, that's quite a big question.
Yeah, I know.
There are various tools out there that can help to do that, although, again, they can be quite confusing. If you're really coming from somebody doesn't really understand much about websites, web design, web marketing, then they can be confusing tools when you look at it to understand, okay, what are the most important things? But, I mean, I think the key thing is that you're going to have the words in there. in the right fashion, so they've got to be in there in terms of looking at these sort of keywords and meta tags, preferably in a domain name if you can get them. But that again relates more to the microsite side of things. The other aspects that are important now are looking at links coming into a site, maybe having a blog on there as well, where you can put in different combinations of those keywords that you're trying to attract people into. Around different sort of posts, different things that you write about that relate to that. That's another strategy to sort of improve your rankings as well. As I said, it's become a lot more confusing than it was, and a lot more difficult than it was even just 5 years ago. So. Even looking at pay-per-click marketing and all these other things as well that used to be fairly straightforward and fairly simple. I don't know whether you've actually done that yourself as well, but it's you know, that is becoming increasingly competitive as well and increasingly costly.
Yeah, and we're doing some Facebook marketing. That seems to be quite interesting. And
Facebook marketing as well. I mean, we've tried a bit of that, and I haven't got an awful lot of clicks, but not an awful lot of action out of it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So part of that people look at and say, well, that's building a brand presence awareness in your area. But I prefer to go more towards direct response things. I think building a brand is quite, you need an awful lot of money to get brand recognition and a name recognition. So I think, I'm more towards trying to get people to do something. Either give me your email address or phone me. You've got something to work on.
I'd absolutely agree. Well, Ron, I know it's a big issue. Unfortunately, we're in an internet-driven world now, and
we are.
If you're going to run a successful business, either you or someone who works with you in the business is going to have to know something about these topics. So
I would agree. I think what you've got to do is to make sure, I think you've got to realise, as you said, that this is important, and ensure that the person you're working with is delivering that for you. You ask them the right questions, and if you're not up there with some of the search terms in your area, then you've got to ask, well, why, and what do I have to do to get up there, and how much is it going to cost?
Yeah, and the problem I found, Ron, is there seem to be two types of web designer. There are the artistic ones who will do you a beautiful site. They're artists, really, and that's their background, and they do you a beautiful site, which will look lovely. But the problem is, no one will find it. And then on the other side, there's the slightly geeky people who are not into beautiful-looking websites, but they're into, where does your website appear, how many clicks you're getting, how it works, and they're very different class, type of person.
Well, they are, and I think you've also got a third important component as well, which is often the last thing that people look at. It's the copy. So, in other words, do the words on there make someone do something?
Yeah.
It's pointless having an optimized site that looks great, but if people come in and they don't actually, they're not convinced by the words on there. And ultimately, it's the words that sell. It's not images and the fact that they found it. There's something on there that's kind of said, okay, why should I either give you my email details or phone you up? And so I think the copy is really important as well. So if you've got rubbish copy in there, then it still won't be effective.
Now, that's interesting. Now, Ron, when was the last time you read a whole paragraph on a website?
Well, it's rare because people do scan read through, and so that's why you know, increasingly you've got to capture people's attention. And it's so easy, isn't it, to flick through sites now and, you know, go between one site and another. And so I think ultimately it kind of comes down to that, you know, it's calling this sort of, you know, USP, that kind of headline, the thing that really grabs them, that makes them read on and read more.
Yeah.
So
sort of a tip for writing on the internet that I've sort of read somewhere was that any copy should be about a third as long as anything you would write. Because people do not read, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs on the internet. Think about when you last did it. It's good to have a sort of a quick summary, like a few lines, perhaps in bold, yeah, of what you're talking about, and then below it have the text. But don't make it small font, make it big, make it spaced, make it easy to read, you know,
yeah,
and to scan. So writing for the internet is different from writing your normal writing, and you need to bear that in mind.
I would agree. I would suggest that, you know, anyone who's kind of looking at this and looking at websites, you know, look towards the big companies in this industry. You know, your Transform Medical Groups that are, you know, 45 million a year turnover, Harley Medical Group, Skin. Have a look at their sites, because, you know, they invest a lot of money in this. So it's never a bad idea just to look at what those guys do and say, okay, maybe I should look at the structure and the copy and you know, how they've laid it out around that, rather than just trying to invent it off the top of your head.
I totally agree. There's no point reinventing the wheel. I mean, these are very successful sites that have been researched. Yeah, have a look at them. I'd agree. Yeah. And of course, Ron, you know, people can come to you for advice. I mean, you offer a web design service, don't you?
We do, yeah, we do indeed. So, you know, we can provide that function as well.
Brilliant. I mean, I suppose we could talk a little, you know, more about... I'll see what sort of feedback we get, Ron, what the listeners are interested in. Perhaps we could talk a little bit about, you know, optimization, you know, an idiot's guide to SEO.
Sure.
You know, if that's what people want. But if anyone is out there, anyone would like myself or Ron to talk about anything else, I mean, you know, Ron is a mine of information about the aesthetics industry. So if you would like to ask Ron a question, or you'd like us to base an episode on any topic, please let us know.
Lovely. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you very much for joining me, Ron, and I hope to catch up with you soon.
Super. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So a big thank you again to Ron for joining me today. I found that a really informative discussion. I always love talking to Ron about the industry, because he's so knowledgeable. I mean, he does know literally everybody in the industry. So we'd love any feedback you could give us about the podcast series. If you'd like us to discuss any topics, please you know, let us know. Have a look at the Cosmetic Course Academy, which we're working on. Which is, you'll find at cosmetic-courses.co.uk. We're putting a lot of training videos and information on there, which will be free for you to access. So have a look back at that. Give us some feedback. Any questions will be gratefully received. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll be able to tune in to episode 21, which will be forthcoming imminently.